So who is this guy standing in front of you? Well, my name's Corey. Oh, hi, Nat. And yes, I have a wife. I have 8 children. I was the associate pastor at Euro Alliance Church for the last 7 years, up till last February. Before that, we were up in Seashell. Before that, North Idaho. Before that, I grew up in Kirkland, Washington, until I went to school in Chicago, Germany, and Trinity Western University. Met a Canadian girl, fell in love, and the rest is history. But right now, for an occupation, what I do is I wander the streets of Chilliwack. Yes, they like to call me a streetwalker. They call me lots of different things. I love, and one of my addictions is Coca-Cola. And when I first started working on the street, literally I do just walk the streets and talk to people and meet with people. And I have lots of different t-shirts, and one of them said, "Enjoy Coke." Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Some of you will get in about 5 minutes. I do not wear that shirt anymore when I'm walking the streets of Chilliwack. But God put it on my heart that He loves every single one of us. And He loves us equally. And He created each one of us. And He's gifted each one of us. And He died for each one of us. And each one of us has our issues, including myself. We have our strengths, we have our weaknesses, we have our addictions, we have those things that take us down. The problem for many is that their addictions and their issues take them down to a level that may be rock bottom for myself, but it's not quite rock bottom for them. And a lot of those folks live and exist and walk the streets of Chilliwack. About 5 years ago, somebody came up to me and they said, "Hey, we want to get married." "That's awesome, that's awesome. But we can't afford a pastor." It took me a second. And then I actually thought it through. And I go, they probably actually can't afford a pastor. They'd be going on to the different websites and seeing how much it would cost to get married. I go, "Oh, wow." A couple years later, another person came up to me and they're like, "Yeah, I want to go to church, but every time I walk in, everybody just feels like they need to help me out and give me that step up. Because they see me and they see my clothes and they know that they're not new clothes. They know they've seen me on the street. They see me selling stuff. They see me asking for stuff. They've served me at Ruth and Naomi's." So God started stirring in my heart. Who's the pastor to the pastorless? Who's that person that walks out and talks to them as our pastor does when we walk in the doors here? Who's the person that journeys alongside of them and does that? And of course, when you pray about those things, God often says, "That's going to be you." And I said, "Well, I don't think so. That sounds like a great idea for somebody else. I'll write up a ministry plan for them and give it to them. That's great. I can tell them everything to do." So I'm going to read to you today from John 17. I'm going to be reading from the Message. If you want to take out your Bibles or your apps or all that different stuff, you can. I will tell you right now, there will not be any changes of slides on here. You get to look at one picture the whole time. So if you didn't bring your Bible, that's totally fine too. Just try to listen to the words. Jesus said these things, and raising his eyes in prayer, he said, "Father, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world." It was the first week that I had been on the job. And to be honest, when we started doing this ministry, I had no clue what to do. I had this big plan I'd put together, but the second that you tie those shoes and you step out onto the street, what's going to happen now? So I walked the same route every single day. I found where most of the people were hanging out. I got to know them. And there's this one guy in particular, George was his name. Big dude. Like, one of the first people that scared me in a long time. And I won't tell you how he introduced himself, but he made it known that he could take me. So I started to get to know George, though, and every single day we'd talk a little bit, just a little bit, 10 seconds max. And then all of a sudden, hey, Pastor. Hey, George. What I didn't know about George at that time was George used to do what I do. He actually managed a facility in Prince George that had over 60 beds. He walked the streets of Prince George and he worked with those in addictions. Losses came to him, and being surrounded by some of the very things that he was running from, he gave in. And he gave in to his addictions. I remember sitting there with him one day, and we were just sitting on a curb, and he looked at me, and I'm like, Matt, have you eaten today? He goes, no, this is good enough for me. Held up a bottle of cheap brandy. He goes, this is what I'm getting my nourishment from right now. Time passed, and again, I'm walking the streets, and I came up to this spot, and there's five guys. Three of them are laid out, and George is sitting there, and this one other guy's there. He goes, Pastor. I'm like, yes, George. Can you pray for us today? Okay. Sure. And we're talking like right in the middle of Chilliwack, right where the cenotaph is, when the V kind of happens right there on Yale Road. I'm like, all right, let's do this. So I kind of kneeled down. They all sat up. Like, all right. I was kind of worried you weren't alive, dude, but it's all good. And we sat there and we prayed. And they started praying for this group of people that had lost their homes in a fire. And I prayed whatever came out of my mouth. And God just kind of said, God, you take this one because I got nothing. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, then you gave them to me. They have now done what you said. They know now beyond the shadow of a doubt that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me. For they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours mine, and my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me so they can be one heart and mind as we are one heart and mind. As long as I was with them, I guarded them in the pursuit of the life you gave through me. I even posted a night watch, and not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction, the exception that proved the rule of Scripture. We were away at a kind of two-day staff retreat, doing our planning for the year, and I remember getting this just kind of weird, uneasy feeling. It's almost like a little bit of guilt as I'm sitting here at this nice camp and we're doing this planning and I feel like I should be on the street. And the next day when I went on the street, I ran into this guy who we don't necessarily get along. I love him, but if he's been drinking or using, he is one of the harshest individuals to deal with. There's moments where he'll come up and give me a hug, and I'm like, please don't let there be a shank in his hand. But there's other times where he'll straight out threaten me in front of other people. Part of it's posturing. But I saw him, and he had a deeper sadness than I'd seen in a long time on his face. I just went to him, I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, I tried to hold him up. I tried to set him up. We tried to take care of him. I tried to get him revived, but I couldn't do it. We'd taken off. We thought he was okay. We thought he was just sleeping. But when we got back, we tried to prop him up. We put him up against the telephone pole. But George died. He'd taken too many things together. And he OD'd. And it's like I couldn't do anything about it. The time that he died was the time that I would have been walking by that area. I know now that God didn't want me there. He wanted me to be where I was at, to be having the conversations that I was having, because those conversations are what prepared me for that conversation. See, George knew God. George had given his life to God. George used to take his mom every Sunday and drive her to church before she passed away. George loved God, but George didn't think he could live up. And he let certain things get in between him and his relationship with God. He had some sin issues. So does Corey. But I also know that he loved God and that he sought him out. This is about 3 or 4 days after we had sat there and prayed in the middle of downtown Chilliwack. Now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so there'll be truth consecrated in their mission. I went to the funeral home thinking that George might not have any family around, and just saying, hey, if there's anything we can do, here's my card, give me a call, and we'll throw a memorial service at the mission, whatever. Well, the next week, again, when I was out in the streets, this lady came by and said they'd seen my card there, so they wanted to let me know that there was going to be a memorial service the next weekend up at Seabird. And so I found out, got all the details, I'm like, I'm going to go. Now, I had never been to an Aboriginal funeral. I'd never been to Seabird Island. I'm from the States. I'm from Kirkland, Washington. And things just roll a little different down there than up here in Canada. And I've been here a while. I'm getting used to it. But there's some differences. This is one of them. So I remember sitting there, and I'm going to my closet. I'm like, usually I dress kind of like Rob. I got black shorts, T-shirt. That's about it. And I'm like, what do I wear to this funeral? For some reason, I'm like, okay, throw on the T-shirt, get that nice dress, the one dress shirt, put it on. Yes, it still fits. We're good. And I remember driving out there, and I show up, and a bunch of his family was there, some of the chiefs, some of the elders, and I think there was two of us white guys in the group. And the lady, one of the family members, walks up to me, and she goes, you're Corey, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm Corey. And she goes, one of the guys couldn't make it. Would you be a pallbearer for my brother? Hua. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. So I jumped in, and again, this role is a little differently than what I'm used to. But I heard more scripture in that funeral
than I have heard at any other funeral in my life. I heard about personal testimonies of love and of friendship, an open and honest discussion about the demons in George's life. We did a lot of this sort of traditional stuff. We walked around and we brought the casket out to the door. We were about to head to the graveyard. And one of the elders walked up, and I noticed it when I walked in, that all these people had bands tied around their arms. And one of the elders walked up to me, and she grabbed a blue band. I still actually carry it every single day when I walk around. She wrapped it around my arm. We took George over and brought him to the graveyard. And we ended up everything there is they dig it out by hand. There's no like tractors brought in, nothing. It's all dug out by hand. And when you lower it, it's on a rope. And we're lowering this casket down with a rope and putting some stuff on top of it. Said some prayers, did some stuff. And then all of a sudden, somebody hands me a shovel. I'm like, okay. And they said, every single bit of dirt that was taken out needs to go back on. And so myself and about 12 other guys, we gave her. And I'm sitting there and I'm dying. This is like the middle of July. Remember that heat wave we had? I think I lost like 10 pounds right there. You ever want to work out? And I just remember digging. And they're bringing out water to us. They're making sure that we're getting our rest and that we're getting under the shade. But we're going and we're going and we're going. And then finally we cover it up. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me, because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you in fact sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so to be as unified and together as we are. I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and love them in the same way that you love me. I went back. We ate some food. Told stories. And I asked if I could get up and share one story. And so I got up and I shared the story that I shared with you of George calling me over and praying there. And George's little sister came up to me. And see, what George called me is he called me Big Brother. Maybe because I was just a big dude. I think he was actually making fun of me most of the time. But when she walked up to me and put her arm around me and said, now I have a big brother too. We don't come from the same place. We don't have the same background. We don't fully understand each other. But we have this one thing in common, which is Jesus Christ. This Lord and Savior who gave his life for us. You see, I'm adopted, and growing up, I thought I was one thing. And if you looked at like all the information they give to my parents and stuff, well, my birth mom, she kind of lied on who the dad was. So, and I told her now, I said, could you just like try to go a little closer? So I grew up, and on all my information, my mom is about 5'3", and at that time, you know, 105 pounds, 110 pounds. And my birth dad was 5'11", with a big afro, and 135 pounds. Yeah. I've been this size since I was 15 years old. So I was confused. But my descent is German, and that had said French-Canadian, which my wife loved to throw back at me all the time growing up in the States. And but I'm really German and Scandinavian. If it had not been for the missionaries that Jesus is talking to here, if it had not been for the first Christians, if it had not been for Paul, my people would have never heard of Jesus Christ. Most of us would not be sitting here today if it hadn't been for those first missionaries that went out to tell of Jesus Christ, that went into these different lands and that got to know the people there and that figured out the commonalities between them to teach them of this man who came, who went to the cross for us. John 17 comes right at the tail end of the Lord's Supper, where the guys have finally figured out what's about to happen, where Jesus has just washed their feet, where Philip finally says, "Now I get it." Where Peter says, "There's no way I'm going to let that happen." No. Jesus is about to go to the cross to die for us. And what he starts saying to his Father, "God, just be with them. Help them to be one with one another. Help them to work together in our name, just as you work through me." "Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you, and these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them." I don't have it all figured out. To be honest, my hardest time is often with Christians. It's almost like we're taught to not get along with one another. Sometimes we see so much similarities in each other that we push away. The mission that God's put on my heart is not to reach the homeless. The mission that God's put on my heart is to combat loneliness. Because I don't care if you're on the street, you're sitting here today, sitting at home. This world can be very, very lonely. Oftentimes when we're sitting in a crowd. And that's not what God had planned for us. He built us for relationship. He built us with different gifts, different abilities, different strengths. And every single one of us beautiful in his sight. He knows the negatives, yet he still chose to go to the cross. He knows the sin in our lives, yet he still can look at us blemish-free. He looks at me the same way he looked at George sitting on that curbside talking with one another. Because George was ministering to me as I was ministering to him. Jesus wants us to get along and he wants us to work together. He wants us to put all that other stuff aside. The beauty of Jesus, I love when he talks to people because he just calls them out. Especially those that are, the closer you get to him, the more he calls you out. He's like, yeah, Peter, yeah, you're not going to stand up for me. By the way, you're going to deny me 3 times. A few weeks later, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? My challenge to you, my challenge to myself. How do we go about becoming the bridge builders in this world? How do we go about being those people that in all the different facets of our life can be that bridge from there to the body of Christ? From there to Christ himself. How do we go into the world that we're not of, and as we still exist in that world, how do we allow Christ to use us in that place? Imagine what that would look like. If first and foremost, no matter what we do, we are identified as Christ followers. Not by our occupation, not by the sports we play or love, but because of the God who we serve. I'll be honest, it's not easy. Some people say, well, Corey, you're a street pastor. That's got to be. Yeah. Ooh. You're supposed to talk about God and your occupation. I live in one of the biggest glass houses you've ever seen. Because they're watching every move I make. When somebody comes at me and I accidentally drop an F-bomb. Yes, it happens every once in a while. One guy lunged at me the other day. And my fist automatically clenched up, and I was ready to go. And I had to stop myself. I saw a girl get traded for a cell phone. The dad in me, oh, there's a few commandments I was going to take out. But we all have that stuff, right? Never in here does Jesus say it's going to be easy to follow him. In fact, he's saying, God, in his last days, God, please pour into them as you poured into me. Please give them the strength that you gave me in that desert to turn away from the evil one. The beauty of it is, we're in it together. We don't have to do it alone. He gave us those people in our lives that have the gifts and abilities that we don't have. Anybody here married? Yeah. You learn that pretty quick, don't you? Oh, thank you for giving me her, because I'd have been stuck. I'm not on my way to sainthood. My wife is. Because that's the mission that God put in her heart. And I follow her in that. I thought we were going to have one. So, with that all being said, I think it's quite fitting that we're going to go to the Lord's table. What a gift he gave us. Today in China, today in India, today in the United States, other areas here in Canada, down in Mexico, Argentina, Chile, Australia, New Zealand. There are believers going to participate in the Lord's Supper. Communing with God in the way that He commanded us to. And we get to participate with them and do the same thing. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So hopefully I'll get this right. I think the worship team is going to come on up, play a little ditty behind us. And I challenge you guys, as you go to take the cup and the bread, if you go on your own, you go as a family, you go with a friend sitting next to you, just talk to God. He knows where you're at, but sometimes He likes to hear it from you as well. Be honest with Him. Be clear with Him. If you're mad at Him, you tell Him. If you're loving life, you tell Him. If you're somewhere in between, tell Him. But be real with Him. Because He knows anyways. And let's just enjoy what He's given us. So dear God, we give this to You. We thank You for the sacraments. We thank You, God, that You give us an opportunity to reflect on that sacrifice that You gave at the cross. That in this moment we can be one with our brothers and sisters across the world. We may see things differently, we may do things differently, but God, ultimately, we've given our lives to You. And God, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You, if there's anybody here that needs to give their life to You or wants to give their life to You, I pray that they do. I pray that they realize that You are the God that loved and created and died for every single one of us. That gave Yourself on the cross so that we may live an eternal life with You in heaven. Thank You for this community. Thank You for this family. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. I grew up in a Lutheran church. And I don't wear the robe, I don't have the collar, but there is one thing that blessed me for many years. And even as I got older, and I met my birth parents, met my birth father, and my birth grandfather is a pastor. And I can't do it the way he does, because he does it in Hebrew. But every time he ends a conversation with me on the phone, he blesses me with this. I'm going to pass along to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He look upon you with absolute favor and grant you overwhelming peace. We'll sing one more song. But when you leave this place, may you leave it and go and serve the Lord. Amen.